Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Like Mother, Like Daughter podcast. I'm Lauren, the daughter.
And I am Jamie, the mother, and we are so excited to be back recording another episode of this amazing podcast. Thank you all for listening.
Yes, we appreciate you dearly today and every day.
We sure do. So we're going to start with our lights, and then we have a fun topic as usual.
Yeah, just jumping right in here.
You know what's really awesome right now? It's like a Sunday evening and it's 7:17 out or anywhere inside,
well,
outside.
Well, not anywhere, only if you're central time.
Right, but and it's like light out as can be.
It's
and
really
we,
nice. And I was saying it was lighter than it was earlier today when it was raining. Like, it's so nice. Like, I want to go outside kind of.
It's so nice. It gives me hope.
Me too.
I love it.
Feeling hashtag hopeful.
Totally. All right, let's get into our lights of the week. Lauren, what's your low?
Okay, actually, I have like two that I can't really decide between, but I'm not going to say one in the event of like jinxing and whatever, so I'm just going to say another one.
Okay.
Like, that was really my low, but I don't want to mention it in a superstition omen. So I'm going to say a different low, which was that it was very bittersweet, but as you guys know, I've been interning at Keshet for the last few months, and it's coming to an end very soon, which I'm very sad about. But it was a very, like I said, bittersweet day on Thursday because we had to say goodbye to one of my coworkers that I really enjoyed working with. And, you know, the reason why it's bittersweet is because she did get another job, you know, at doing a similar thing at a higher level. So obviously, you know, we wish her the best and like know that this is a good career move for her, and I don't think anyone would fault her for that, but it was definitely a big loss and I really enjoyed working with her, so it's definitely going to be sad last few weeks there like without her because I really enjoyed her energy. We really connected. I'm the youngest person that works there, but like besides me she's like the second youngest, so I feel like I could connect to her really easily. And she's super nice, and I will miss her dearly. So, Lexi, I wish you all the best if you're listening, but you're probably not.
But anyway, that's so great, and I'm glad that you had – not that's great that she's leaving. I'm really mm-hmm. happy that you made a connection, and you'll be able to continue that, Laura.
Yeah, hopefully. I would love to, you know, connect with her and see her in the next, you know, few months and catch up for sure. So
yeah, it's awesome that you had a good connection with her. It's not awesome that she left, but – mm-hmm. So my low for the week is just I've had a couple good interviews with people that I'm hoping could work this summer, but it's a bummer because they're these two guys that I met that would be great junior counselors and still might be. I'm not sure I can hire them because they cannot work the full week because they're both of them are travel baseball guys. And
yeah, so unfortunate.
You know, it's hard when you meet some good people and then if they can't work like, I don't know, 9 times out of the whole summer, what could be 9 or 18 days is like half of the work.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure, but we'll see. I, you know, there are hopefully other candidates for those positions and maybe these guys can come on board as floaters if needed. So that's my low. I guess it's not that big of a low, but.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, that's kind of how mine is. It's not like totally low, but we've been kind of on this kick lately. With, like,
thank goodness.
I know. Thank goodness. Knock on wood, truly.
We should be glad.
My therapist last week in therapy said, like, she's like, it sounds like you're in a really good place, Lauren. And I'm like, you know what? I am. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to, you know, go with that because sometimes I'm like worried about admitting that I'm in a good place because I'm like nervous I'm going to be like jinxing myself or like, you know, when you just as you say that something goes wrong or, you know, when you've been struggling for a long time, it's like hard to, you know, not find like the faults. So, yeah, I'm trying.
Well, that's a really good thing to keep in mind that, you know, you can be okay with, you know, wherever you're at.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways,
medium
light. Was that on Friday I got to see so many of my friends that I haven't seen in a long time. A bunch of my friends from camp and I went out to dinner at my good pal Charlie Beinlich's restaurant.
Your good
and,
pal.
Yeah, he's a really great pal of mine. And it was so nice. Obviously, the food was great. And then we got ice cream after. So another great moment. But just more importantly, it was so nice to be with them. It's so weird because I anticipated having this – you know, semester of time to be able to see so many people. And like, I guess I have, but I've just been so busy and like I haven't seen some of my closest friends in like over a month, almost 2 months. So it was really nice to, you know, I guess reunite with them and hang out. And I'm excited to spend the summer with them.
Yeah. We love those friendships. Mm-hmm. Great people.
Great peeps.
Glad that you got to hang out with them.
Times.
Totally awesome. Okay. So my medium, I don't know. I can't pick between the medium and the highlight. As usual, sometimes they're just like, they just don't stand out as, you know, they're just equals. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say my medium was getting those beautiful roses today from Daddy, just because roses. Nice. We had a great time on Friday night together at home and just hanging out, watching a new show. I'll talk about that later. But it was a good weekend and I love
so
that
glad
guy.
To hear.
So glad. Thank you for these beautiful red roses, Corey.
We love it, and we stan your marriage. Anyway, and my highlight was that my amazing friend Hannah Khan won the lottery for a musical, and she was so nice enough to invite me to go see it with her, and it was so great. We went to see Six, the musical, which I will admit I'm not like the most educated on like that realm, but it was really weird timing because I just mentioned the weekend prior to my grandparents when we were watching West Side Story that I really wanted to go see a musical. Yeah. And then like 4 days later, I got invited to see one. So it was really weird and meant to be. I really did manifest. And so I didn't know much about I knew nothing about the musical before I saw it, but I kind of liked that because it was like, I went in blind, didn't have any expectations of it, and ended up being so amazing. I really want you to go see it with Mima, or maybe I'll go for a part two because it was so good. It was such strong like female rep, and the music was great, and it was a very interactive play, which I thought was fun, and it was short, which I also kind of appreciated. It was just like an hour, and like, you know, well done.
I'm glad you had a good time. And yeah. I'm really proud of you because you drove there. And I don't know. I just think it's awesome that, you know, you went from somebody who had never like driven in the city before to like driving in the city all by yourself.
Yeah. And that's on growth, baby.
I'm proud of that.
Thanks.
It's really awesome. Okay. So my highlight was yesterday. It's some beautiful weather. And I loved the fact that we got to take our Kindles outside and read on the deck. That was like,
I like forgot about that. That was really,
it was one of my like pretty much my highlight of my week, because I love, just like we mentioned it I think last week in when we were talking about blissful things, and we just get a lot of joy out of sitting outside on our deck and reading.
Yeah, like, we really do.
It's just awesome. So there Jack was with us on the deck. It was so nice. Corey brought me out my drink to sit and drink my coconut pineapple water, which I'm really thirsty
really
right now.
Really, so many nice like acts of service.
I know. That's really Dad's love language. It's
it
awesome.
Is. We love it.
And I'll give an honorable mention to going for acai bowls with Mima. That was another amazing
yesterday
highlight.
Was really nice. I like literally forgot about it until right now.
Yesterday was a great day. Awesome. Great. All right. Well, those were our lights. That was quick.
Was quick. We wrapped it up. I like that for us, to be honest.
We didn't have to draw it out so long. Okay, so we thought it could be fun. And we do, if we did like a little getting to know you session, because I was searching topics, and one of them was just like great questions to ask people, and these are like really good questions. So we've each chosen 3 to 6 questions. We'll see how long it takes and how many questions we want to go through. I think it will be interesting if we pick the same question, but I don't know. There's like a list of, I don't know, 60 questions or something. So awesome. Do you want to go first and ask me the first question?
I guess that's a lot of pressure.
Eeny, meeny,
I'm nervous. We might have the same question.
Maybe I know. It'd be fun if we do.
It would be fun because I can't really decide on what questions to ask. But I guess I'll go first if you really want me to.
It's okay.
Okay. So my first question, so I had to do some from that category that was like questions for your parents, because like I feel like that makes sense. And I guess like we can each answer them. Ooh, so sorry for that noise, everybody. I guess we can each answer them, but you know, they're more so focused towards you, I guess.
Okay.
Okay. This is like a double question in one. What's one thing you would tell yourself at my age, and what's one thing your younger self would tell you now? See, these might be challenging because it's like you have to think about them.
You know what? Okay. I think that when I was younger, I always wanted to have this like crystal ball that told me that everything was going to be okay.
Me too.
And to know that like I was going to find somebody who would be my soulmate, who I could spend my life with. To know that one day that I'd be able to like raise amazing kids that would bring such joy to my life and to the world in general. And so I think that what I would tell my younger self is just to hang in there, that it's all going to be okay, and that the dreams that you have for yourself are going to come true in some way. They might not be like these glamorous dreams, but like for what really matters. And I believe family is so important, that finding someone that you enjoy spending time with, that makes you laugh, that like, I don't know, is thoughtful and caring and helps you in your life and makes you a better person is really important. And I found that person. And in terms of like, just I couldn't ask for two more amazing children and offspring. I just am so proud of you and Max, and I can't wait to see what's ahead on your journey. So it's like, I think I would have just told myself to like ride the waves, that, you know, even though you're going to go on a few dates with, I don't know, weirdos or whatever, people that are egocentric or whatever, they all the wrong ones, one day you're going to, you know, get a call from the right one.
Yeah, that's really nice.
What was the other part?
Such a love letter, like, to Corey episode.
I know. Who knew?
What's one thing your younger self would tell you now? So, like, flipping it. Like, what do you think? What's a lesson you could learn, I guess, from your younger self? Is a good way to phrase that question.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there was, like, a time where I felt – that I woke up and I was like, okay, you are in charge of this day. You can make it a good day and you can appreciate the small things. And I think that she, you know, she would appreciate that there was a sun in the sky and it was shining and the sun came out and I had a good day, and just like that you are in control of those moments and you can turn those negatives into positives. And I think I learned that a while back, and I learned that from her. So I'm going to go with that.
I love that.
I don't know. Can you answer this yet?
I think I could, because I'm, instead of my age, I'm going to say like just a younger version of myself as a kid. So I think one thing I tell them would be like to not be in a rush to grow up, because I think that's how I lived a lot of my like childhood, was like, I wish I appreciated it a little bit more, because I was always like wanting to get to the next step of like getting older. Like when I was in junior high, like I couldn't wait for high school, and when I was in high school, I couldn't wait for college and vice versa. And I think like, and I was always so curious about people around me, which isn't a bad quality, but I think I missed out on some of the like innocence of my childhood and younger years because I was so like wanting to like grow up and be mature. So that's like one thing I would tell my younger self. And then I think a lesson I could learn from my younger self is just that like to not take life too seriously and just like have fun. Because I don't know, like for me, my younger years are filled with such positive memories, and there's not much like, I guess, like trauma to like unpack really. Like I think, you know, I really enjoyed going to school. I really enjoyed all these activities I was involved in and things like that, and, you know, playing outside and whatever. And so I just think I would tell myself that, like, you know, there's so much amazing things like in front of you, and like enjoy the present, even though that's kind of contradictory to what I said in the beginning, but I guess not really that, but just to have fun and like, just, I don't know that it's, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of confusing myself there, but
I think you basically said just like enjoy the moment.
Yeah. Enjoy the moment, and also continue to ask questions and, like, be curious, and not be afraid. Actually, this is totally scratched out. I think the main thing I would want is to, like, that, but also like to not be afraid to like speak up and share your thoughts, and don't let other people, you know, get in the way of your true self and your opinions. Because when I was a kid, I was very quick to talk and speak, and now I think a little bit more before I speak, which again is not necessarily bad, but I think just like more of the, you know, you can do this, you are awesome, you got it,
you got this, kid.
Okay. Sorry, that was kind of long-winded. I think I had it in my head and then I forgot it and then I remembered as I talked.
That was good.
Anyway,
good advice for yourself in the past and for the future. I love that.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. So let's pretend, Lauren, that we could live in another country for a year. No strings attached. Like we can all move. We're going to pick up and move. And like, it's kind of like we're going on sabbatical. Everything, we come back and it's all the same. But we get to pick where we live and we get to spend a year there. Where would we go?
Okay. That's really tough and hard to answer because I haven't been many places. So I don't really know what it's like to live there. So just like judging based on things that I know, like I think a quick answer that always comes to my head is like Italy, because I like the food, but that's not a good answer that I should pick. I think the right answer is that I think I'd want to live in Copenhagen because there's all this research about people who are Danish, like being really happy and they have like the lowest suicide rates and it's like the most peace and all of that.
I think
and
they ride their bikes everywhere.
Yeah, that they're very active. And like there's a whole book that I know, like Babbage Book Club read. It's called like the Year of Living Danishly and like lessons you can learn from their lifestyle. And I think it'd be very refreshing to go there and live there for a year after, you know, living in this tumultuous country of America that's so divided and like dangerous and destructive.
I love that. I'd love to go there.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Would be cool. Where would you go?
Well, I would probably choose Israel. I know that's probably like a very, I mean, because I've never been to Copenhagen. Right. And although, you know, maybe we can do 6 months in Copenhagen and 6 months in Israel. I can't wait for you to go and experience like,
I'm also excited.
Being in a place where, you know, you're in the majority in terms of your religion, and I don't know, it's just a beautiful country. And there's just, I don't know, I just was impressed by it. And I've only scratched the surface in my three trips there. So I've probably spent like a total of 24 days there, maybe, if I were to like really think about it. Could be less. I don't even know how many days you're like traveling and how many days you're actually in the country. True. But could somewhere between 18 and 24 days, I bet. But I find it so awesome and amazing and so much, you know, like literally biblical times history. And I don't know. I just want to go spend more time there. So I'm going to pick Israel.
That's a great choice that I would have also answered, but I knew that's what your answer was going to be. And I wanted to think outside the box a little bit.
You are outside the box. Okay. Question number two for me.
Okay. This is another question in that category. What about the current world would be most surprising to your younger self?
I mean, I think that we've pretty much been living in a pandemic for over 2 years now.
Yeah.
Is the craziest thing. I mean,
yeah.
I like from the first few moments of like it starting in the lockdown and all of that, well, prior to that, not even believing that it was happening really, and that like this was no big deal. I even traveled outside of the state in the country. Like I went to Israel like at the beginning of the coronavirus when it was just in China. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It's really crazy.
So I don't know that I ever would have imagined all of that time and so much of what we saw go down in the country and just everything from like the George Floyd to, you know, civil unrest and like and just Donald Trump being the president, all of that kind of stuff.
That was one of my answers. Like, I couldn't
imagine.
Like, when Dad told us he was the president, when he woke us up for school the next day, like, we didn't even believe it. So, yeah. Like, that's just so weird to think about, you know?
Yeah. I think my younger self would be like, you know, couldn't believe any of that. So, that's a big one, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely would probably say the same things. And then also just like the fact that I care so much about a lot of these topics because when I was younger, like, I mean, when you're a kid, it's like, you know, it goes in one ear out the other. But I just think even
5 or 6 years ago, I wouldn't have anticipated caring so deeply about a lot of these things. And I think the pandemic helped a lot with that because, like, seeing something as, like, you know, simple as, like, a health crisis turn into, like, something so political,
yeah,
you know, was a huge wake-up call. And then, like, the George Floyd stuff and all of that. But I think just, like,
I think you pride yourself in it, too. Like, you would rather...
Right. Like, I think caring is cool, but I'm not sure, like, I would have had that mentality, like, at a younger version of myself as intensely. Like,
yeah. You know? Well, I'm grateful that, I mean, not that it had to take this, but I actually think that I became more aware of that kind of stuff in my college years as well.
And I think that's a very natural time.
Yeah. I think that's kind of. I mean, I'm sure there's research on that, but I bet people start, I mean, you know, you're of age to vote. You want to, like, start getting a little bit more interested in what's going on in your community, mm-hmm. or in the world, or, you know, where you live, and be able to stand up for things that you believe in. So I think that that's normal, that starts happening later.
Agreed. Like,
not when you're bringing home an article for current events, you know?
Right. And like, right.
Like, that's exactly. Not necessarily that's necessarily when example. It starts happening.
It's a really good example. It's also interesting to think about just, like, in terms of my personality, who I am, like, what would be surprising, you know, to myself. Like, the fact that I read so much, I feel like when I was a kid, I liked to read, like, younger. But there was a period of time, like, I think we were kind of having this conversation, I don't remember with who, but about, like, how reading, like, when it starts being for, like, when you start doing it for school, it turns into, like, a chore and homework.
Right. Something and then you it, have to do versus
right.
something
and then
you
it
want.
Takes, yeah. and then it, like, takes on a whole different meaning and, like, kind of ruins a lot of people's experiences with it. And so, like, I remember at a point when we used to annotate, like, those books, I used to hate reading.
Right.
And, like, now looking at how big of a part of my life it is, it's just, like, also kind of crazy.
I would also add, maybe, like, there's probably a version of myself that never would have thought I would have been a camp director.
Yeah.
Look, I hated camp as a child. I think me, mom, papa pulled me out of the first camp that
That's
I went to.
That's also really weird.
And then I went to Camp Shiloh, cried most of the time that I was away at overnight camp. So, and now this is my, like, life's work. So I don't know. I mean, I think that that's
it's really weird.
Crazy thing too. It's my turn for
also,
my...
Also, I think I would be surprised about how my college experience, like, turned out for me. I think that would have... Like, I would have never expected that when when I was, like, a freshman in high school, let alone, like, committing to college as a senior. Like, because, like I was saying before, like, in the thing I would tell my younger self, like, I was so desperate to, like, move on to the new things. And so I just, like, it was always in my head, like, college made the best 4 years of my life. Like, I'm so excited for it. It was going to be great. And, like, there were great things, but I just don't think I would have expected it to take the route it did. And also in terms of, like, the careers I'm choosing and all of that.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't know. I was reading through my notes on my app the other day, and I was looking earlier today, and it said, I don't know. I'm trying to look and see what I said, but I don't think I'm in a fight. Oh, here. It's like, instead of telling someone college will be the best 4 years of your life, you should say, go have the time of your life.
It's a good
because
way to
it's
put
too
it.
Much pressure to tell kids these are going to be the best 4 years
it
of
is
your
a lot
life.
Of pressure.
I'm sorry if I ever did that.
You probably did, but it's like, it is what it is. Like, we can't go back now. And why would I have thought it wouldn't be?
I know.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we're still should we ask one more question or should we end it here?
I think you get to ask another question.
Oh, I do get to ask you another question. Okay.
Oh, darn, I have so many more questions.
I know.
Questions.
Well, we can continue on. Lauren, so which characteristics of yourself do you think you inherited from either me or dad? Or what are some of the things that you inherited from me and what are some of the things that you inherited from dad?
Okay. I would start from you, I think the people pleasing aspect of our personality comes from you.
Sorry.
It's a sorry, but it means that we care a lot about people and we, you know, value opinions and we, you know, want to put our best foot forward and all of that, which aren't bad things. Sometimes they manifest in not the most positive way. But I think those qualities, like, that make those kinds of people can be used for good. I would say from both of you have a very hard work ethic, and I think I inherited that. And I think both of you have that, so it's not really one parent or the other.
No.
In terms – this isn't really personality, but I think we share a lot of the same interests and hobbies and, like, activities, which make us really close and fun, which I enjoy. I'm trying to think. I'll just switch gears because, like, for Dad, you know, we both have a very similar, like, outlook on life, which can also be good and bad. typically, you know, a little bit – see things a little more, like, realistically. I don't know. I don't think I'm a pessimist. Like, I don't know if that's the best term to even describe, like, Dad as either. Like, I don't think we're really, like, negative, but we definitely, like, have a more, like, realistic output and, like, as opposed to, you know, seeing everything – you know, we see the bad in people before we see the good, and we have a very good read on people, which is a quality I kind of like, because usually I can guess how someone is. It doesn't work every time. It's not perfect every time.
And I wouldn't say that I don't see, like, those things I choose to overlook it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, maybe. I'm not going to say that I don't see that, oh, gosh, this kid is going to, like, something, you know, if you hire somebody and you're like, oh, which one's the weakest, you kind of know. Like, you're not going to. See, I mean, I think I tend to see things through rose-colored glasses more, but I also see the real, but I choose to believe, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other thing about Dad, I think that is similar between us is that, you know, we do a lot for the people that we care for the most, and, like, the people that we don't care for, like, you know, we're not going to, like, waste our time, you know, making conversation with someone that, you know, we don't like, or, like, going out of our way. But for the people that we do really care about, we do go out of our way for them. And then I guess so the other thing for you that I think is similar between us is that we both definitely have a growth mindset, and we, you know, want to get better and are always thinking of ways to improve ourselves and the things that we do. And we persist through activities. We have perseverance.
That is so true. I love that. Okay. Do you have another question?
Sure. Should we each do one more?
Sure.
Or more? Because, I mean, I have four more, but I don't have to do all of them. I don't know if we'll get through
all of them.
We can save
it to another different time.
True. Okay. I'll just do this one because this is my favorite out of the three I have left.
Okay.
What do you wish people better understood about you?
Oh.
We both have that one. I knew we were going to have one that overlaps.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Look at What do I wish that people understood about me? I mean, I think that people see me as so, like, rainbow sunshines and unicorns. And I think I do put that out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I'm always so nice. So I don't know. I'm not so sure.
I don't know if nice is – you're not nice. I think, like, sometimes you have moments where you are, you know, human and you – get down on yourself or are worried about something, like,
right.
And that I think maybe people just think, like, you're always so, like, it's happy gonna be okay,
it's gonna just rub yeah. up, roll off me. And I think sometimes, like, I do get upset and I do sweat out the difficult things, or, like, you know, that never let them see you sweat. Like, sometimes I do. I think I try to show that vulnerable side though a lot. So I mean, I don't know what other things would I say is that I wish people understood me better. It's kind of hard because I feel like I put everything out. I feel like I'm what you see is what you get kind of a person. So
I'd agree with that about you for sure.
I don't think I hide
but
too much.
But I think
much,
that was
so
a good point
a
because I think that it's a good thing for people to remember about you.
Yeah. Okay. What about you? What do you wish people understood more about
this is
you?
Like, kind of like, it's hard for me to kind of, like, put it into words. But I would say, like, I think, you know, sometimes I have a tendency to, like, overcompensate some behaviors, or, like, I might act differently in different situations.
Okay.
And I think that those two traits really boil down to, like, you know, working through some trust issues that I have, and then also just, like, I act in certain ways, or maybe I come off you know, anxious or like worried about, you know, something or somebody or like my relationship with someone because I really care. And sometimes those behaviors don't like manifest always in the best way. And so I think that sometimes, you know, people don't always like maybe understand the way that I handle those situations.
Are you thinking that people see you like you're guarded, so people see you as like
– like I think it's different contexts. Like I think it's in two different contexts. Sometimes I come off really guarded and worried, and then sometimes I come off as like too like much.
And so, really?
That's how I feel sometimes in different situations. And I would love to, you know, the people that I really wholeheartedly trust and feel comfortable with, I have like a middle ground, I would say. But depending on like the way that those groups make me feel, I act in like one way or the other to like overcompensate for those behaviors. And then I don't know. Sometimes, like, I just wish people could, like, I don't know if everyone always, like, sees, like, my full potential. And I feel like I have a lot to offer in the world. And I know that, like, the people who really care for me do see it. And I know, like, you are one of the first people to be my biggest cheerleader and advocate. Cheerleaders and advocates. but, you know, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I get overlooked and that's, or maybe that's just how I feel sometimes, and that can be really sad because I, like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm waiting for a day to, like, you know, explode all over the world and then, like, to kind of give, like, an F you to, like, certain people for, like, not seeing who I am. And that's in, like, totally different – all different kinds of capacities and roles in life.
That'll happen one day.
And I hope it does.
I see it. Your name in highlights.
Thanks.
And spotlights, whatever it's called.
So nice. Thanks.
All right. Are we wrapping this up?
I think you have one more.
Oh, maybe I do.
If you want to. Because I was the first questioner.
Because
we both had one. We both asked.
One, two, three. Well, four, five. So I actually have two more from this, I guess.
I have three. But, I mean, you can ask as many as little.
What was your favorite subject in school and who was your favorite teacher?
Oh, that's so hard because
I know.
I've actually been very fortunate. I've had a lot of great teachers in my life, so it's really hard to choose.
I know.
Like, I almost want to break it down in different categories, like elementary school.
And well, we're going to do that on a different
school,
podcast.
High school.
This one is just a quick
I feel one. Like we did this podcast before.
We did. Who was like our favorite teacher?
I really feel like we did.
I don't know.
Or at least we talked about doing it once because I, like, remember, like, have a memory of this.
Okay. Maybe we did. All right.
It's really hard to choose. But I guess I have to choose a high school teacher because, like,
okay,
younger years, like, I loved those teachers. But in the ways that, like, they impacted me now, like, I don't know if, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The person that always comes to my head when I think of the best teacher I've ever had was Mr. Heller, who was my American Studies AP English teacher.
Campion
and Heller. Like, that was just my favorite class all of high school besides AP Psych. But that was just my favorite class for, like, the subject. And I love the teacher too. I love Miss Lemonbrook. She'd probably be like the second name I would say.
Yeah.
But this class I love because of the, like, actual class connection and the teachers, and, like, it was just like a perfect match, it felt. And I just learned so much from them. Like, I the skills that I learned in that class, like, I, you know, took with me all through college. And
it's a big deal.
I don't know if I would be, like, the writer I am without those teachers.
Wow. That's so cool.
I think it's more like subconscious because, like, look, I'm not writing about, like, the market revolution and, like, the Sound and the Fury anymore. But those, we wrote so many papers in that class. We read a lot of books. We, you know, did a lot of things that were challenging. It was a lot of work. That class was a lot of work. It was two classes together. But, you know, it pushed me. It was probably the hardest. Like, I worked harder in that class than I did, like, all of college. And that's just because Stevenson really prepared me for college. And, like, you know, I'm very grateful for that. But he's just, like, they're both more so Heller than Campion, both of them, though. Like, they're just people that I will never forget as teachers because you know, they asked us real questions about life. They always connected things, you know, to be the bigger picture. Like, I even had a conversation with Jordan a few weeks ago about something we talked about in that class. And that was like 3 weeks ago. That's we so had fun. A conversation about being like one of the questions he asked us was like, are you a dreamer? Are you a realist? And we all had to go around the room and answer. And that's like a question I still think about all the time.
You probably said you were a realist.
Probably said I was a realist, but I think sometimes I'm a dreamer and sometimes I'm a realist. It
really I like depends that. On the That's scenario. A good answer. If you could, it's, if you really, don't have to pick one, depends.
I know it really does depend. Although I was just saying earlier about me and Dad are very realistic people, but I think it's good to have a healthy balance of both. But anyways, they're just, I don't know, I just amazing. Like bow down. Like so smart. So.
Right. And they asked the right questions.
Asked the right questions. They made you think. Jinx. Ugh. I mean, I remember having questions about or a debate about like white privilege in that class. Like that was so ahead of like the times of like, I mean, it shouldn't have been. But, you know, in terms of like those kinds of things.
It's great.
It is great. And who's your favorite teacher?
You know what? I don't really know that I have a teacher. Like,
I thought you were going to say that teacher from your Kansas, like that one class that everyone wants to take.
What? Which one? Dennis Daly?
I don't know.
The sex class?
Yeah, that class.
I mean, I don't know that I would say he was my favorite teacher, but they're, I don't know. I mean, there were teachers that meant a lot to me, and they weren't even like my, you know, like Mrs. Mann. She was our music teacher. And she was like the chorus teacher. Like I loved her. And same with like Frank Dobler. Mm-hmm. And like,
but you didn't have a teacher. So, you wrote an email to at the end of the class. Like I did for Campion and Heller.
I don't remember having to do that. I'm sure there were.
I kept track of all the quotes from the class and I like wrote them a whole letter.
Look, there was a piece that I wanted to be a Spanish teacher because they had like these really good Spanish teachers. I don't even remember their names though. Like, it's a long time ago, my schooling. So, I mean, let's not forget. It's
funny, though, because you picked this question.
I know. I loved – there was a social studies teacher in junior high school. Shoot. What was his name? Oh, Jerry, if you're listening, you would know. But I loved that guy. And Mrs. Gebhardt from third and fourth grade – no, sorry, fourth and fifth grade. I loved her. I don't know. I had some good teachers, but I can't remember everybody's names. So let's just continue on. You have another question for me?
Oh, I thought we were done after those questions. Oh, then that's
it. Okay, that'll be it. We're done. We know each other very well. Yeah, we can always go back to these again. Yeah, this was a great one. Okay, so let's move on into our what we're into's for the week. And, well, I'm going to just say that I have two things. So I'm going to talk about a television show, and then I'm also going to talk about a book that I'm currently reading. Okay, is that fair? Because I'm into both, and I really
kind of have two also. So
I cannot wait to go back to my book when we're done with this podcast tonight because mm-hmm. I really love it. I am reading Forever Interrupted by Taylor Jenkins Reid. And she is one of my favorite authors, and this will be the last book that I can read that she has written until her new book comes out this summer, I want to say. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's coming out in June, maybe May or June. I guess it's not that far away because it's like in a month. But this is such a tragic story. It's about this girl. I think her name is Elsie. And Elsie's husband, Ben, like they got married. And
it was like an insta-love. Like, wasn't it like an insta-love situation? Like they got married really fast?
Well, they were dating and they've only known each other for 6 months. So they went on their first date and it was like magic. And then he just ended up. Their first date started and it was like a date that went on the whole day. Mm-hmm. And they like slept in the same bed, but they didn't like do anything more. And they met in like this pizza place. They were both ordering pizza
out from this
restaurant. They went to go pick up their pizza and they met in the like pizza parlor picking up their pizzas. And then they ended up going on a date. And honestly, you guys, 9 days after, she was like craving Fruity Pebbles. And he rode his bike to go pick up Fruity Pebbles from like the market. And it was taking so long. He wasn't answering his phone. And she ran outside. I don't even think she had shoes on. And she saw that there was an accident and she saw his bike and he had gotten hit by some kind of vehicle and died instantaneously.
Also, that's not a spoiler. That's like the synopsis of the book.
Sorry, right? Oh my gosh.
No, it's okay. Terrible. Like, doesn't that happen in like the first chapter?
It happens in the first chapter.
Okay, yeah.
It's not. But it is so painful. I mean, I can't even imagine. They had their whole life ahead of them. This was her love. And now it's just the story of kind of her, you know, getting back on her feet and what follows. I don't know. It's written so beautifully. So
it really is. And this is her first book. And so, like, I remember everyone saying that, like, you should go into it with lower expectations because, like, it's not going to be as good as, like, some of her newer releases. But I think that made me love it more. Like, I didn't have high expectations and it ended up being a really good book. I read it, I think, last May, so it's almost been, like, a year since I read it.
I mean, I just love everything this woman puts out into the world.
Yeah, she's – what I love about her books, she does write a lot of romance, like, novels, but they're not really romances. Right. Like, you don't really, like, look at the men love interest in the book and be like, oh, like, those are, like, my book boyfriends. Like, I love the romance.
Well, it's not so steamy either, so it's not over the top
in that. But it's nothing to do – like, her books really make you question your own life and reflect on yourself and, like, more, like, existential, like, life situations as opposed to, like, the actual characters, which I think is just what makes her such an amazing writer and, like, definitely one of my top three favorites ever. I cannot wait for her
new book
to come out.
So, yeah, I'm so excited. Carrie Soto – is it, like –
Carrie Soto is back.
Carrie Soto is back. That's what we're looking forward to reading
we're
next
really
by
excited.
Her. So anyway, Forever Interrupted. I'm not finished yet, but I can tell you it's probably going to be a four point something star read. And the other thing that I'm really into is the show Winning Time, which is the story of the Los Angeles Lakers. Really takes place in the late 70s, early 80s, this show. Just when like the Lakers team was getting hot and they had just acquired Magic Johnson onto their team. And it's just I know that there's a lot of controversy around the show. It's playing on HBO, but it's really, really good. And there's some fiction and some truth in it, but it is just told in such a way and the acting is phenomenal. And there's like the scenes and the directing and like just the video, the cinematography of this TV show. It's just amazing. So I'm really into that. And I know it's on tonight. So I'll have to catch up after that. But awesome. What are you into, Laura?
So I technically have two also because I feel like they have to go together. But they're both book recommendations that I read this week. And the reason why I'm grouping them is because they're two Jewish romance books that I thought I would shout out. So
nice.
The first one that I read is Weather Girl by Rachel Lynn Solomon, which is like one of my new all-time favorite books. I loved it. Basically, it follows Ari Abrams, who's a meteorologist in Seattle, and she has a coworker named Russell who like covers like sports. And basically, they kind of like both are in agreement that like the workplace is kind of like not the best environment to work in because their bosses, who were previously married and now divorced, like are just so like annoyed and agonized with each other that it makes it just like a negative place to work, and they both want to move up in their careers and they feel like they're not getting noticed. So they basically do like a parent trap kind of like situation, and they try to like set the two people back up with each other, like to reconnect, and they kind of do some digging and, you know, scheming, and then from there their own romance kind of unfolds.
Wow.
From there. So that was a twist that I didn't expect happens. Like, I almost wish I didn't say that. But it makes it really fun, and there's so much more. Like, I don't want to spoil anything else, but it has really good mental health representation in the book. Ari's like, she's on antidepressants and she attends therapy, and that's just like, you know, something a part of the book that's not, you know, it's not like a thing, but it's a part of it, which
right.
It's worked in very seamlessly. Russell is a fat protagonist, which I also liked because we like good body representation in romance, because a lot of times males are often portrayed as just like fat or not fat, like very muscular, and you know, they have abs or whatever, and
right.
They're these like amazingly hunky, attractive, hot men, and you know, that's not most men in the world. So I like that, you know, he was portrayed as just this like nice guy.
And yeah, I don't want to give too much else away, but I think you will all really enjoy it. And there's some great Jewish representation as well that you will enjoy throughout the book. And then the other one that I read that I really enjoyed, not as much as Weather Girl, but still like loved this book, is called Sadie on a Plate by Amanda Elliott. And it's basically like this girl named Sadie. She is a chef in a restaurant, and you know, she doesn't really get to cook. Like, her specialty is making like modern Jewish foods, you know, like upscaling them, mm-hmm. and you know, showing that like Ashkenazi Jewish food isn't just like lox and bagels, like there's more to it. So that's kind of like her niche, but she doesn't get to cook that in the kitchen that she works for, and she ends up getting fired for reasons you'll learn about later in the book. But basically, she also simultaneously is applying to get cast on this show that's basically like a Top Chef kind of show, like a cooking competition with a bunch of like famous chefs around the world. And so she ends up getting cast on it, and then she is going on the plane to New York City, and she sits next to this guy, and they like form an instant connection.
Wow.
And then it turns out he is involved in the show in some way. And so you'll find out what that is. And the whole show, like, it basically feels like you're watching an, like a whole season of one of these cooking shows. Like, it was written so well. They had all these side characters and like other contestants on the show that you like really root for and like just as much. That's which is cute. Which is nice, because you really don't, I don't know, sometimes I don't think side characters are always like done so well in a book,
right?
But these people, like, I really liked. And you know, I wouldn't, I feel like it is kind of mismarketed as a romance because it's not the like bulk of the story, but it's still really cute. And I would definitely recommend both of those. And there's obviously some great Jewish representation as well. And it was a perfect read during Passover. Like, it made me so hungry. all these, you know, foods that she was cooking for the competition, you know, she was always trying to put like a Jewish spin on them. So that just made it like so fun. And it's just one of those books, if you just want to have a nice, fun time and smile, it's a great book. So yeah, I'd recommend both of them, Weather Girl by Rachel Lynn Salmon and Sadie on a Plate by Amanda Elliott.
And don't forget to read
And Forever Interrupted by Taylor Jenkins Reid. So we just gave you guys three book recs. You should be very busy this week.
All right, Lauren, we've solved everyone's problems again.
Again, and we gave some people some great books, and we asked the important questions about life.
Yeah, and what I got to know you a little bit more. So did everyone else.
Amazing.
All right, so you guys, remember to follow us on social media. Share this podcast with people who you think would get a kick out of it. And you know what? Go check out our new TikTok. It should be really funny to go watch. So lots of things to see and do in the mother, like mother-daughter world.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening. If you've gotten this long, I don't know, answer a question. Long. What does that mean?
If you've gotten this
if
far. You've
gotten, if you follow, if you're still here. All right. Anyway, take care of yourself and others. We love you. Bye.
Bye.